and for all whom the Lord our God will call. Praise be to God.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
All right, and let's see.
First day with the new board.
Yeah, right. Hey, we're on the air. Yeah. Ah.
Well, good morning. I am the one that did not plug in my headphones this morning. So, of all minor problems in the studio, headphones is the most minor to be repaired. And
yeah,
so
exactly.
Just plugging it in solved a lot of problems there. So if you heard a little, what's going on over there? Yeah, it was us. Well, we want to welcome you to Wednesday Live. We do this every week at 11 o'clock on Wednesday mornings. And you are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. It's right now a couple minutes after 11 o'clock. And we have, I believe, a very, very important topic to discuss today, and we have a wonderful guest in studio with us. But I'll start with my team, and I do believe I heard something. David's here. David, are we going to have Ma and Paul show up today?
Ma and Paul are back. Yeah,
are they?
They'll be here this morning.
They actually were able to get off the farm and come in and give us some updates on what's going on.
Yeah,
excellent.
And we'll hear why they've been on the farm.
Why they've been on the farm so long. Well, that's great. Maybe we'll be able to get a little of their wisdom today. We've missed that. They've been gone for a while. How's the front line going? I know you have a program on Monday mornings.
We it's really going well. Now, we're into our third year, you know, doing that. And
wow, 3 years.
Guests, a nice variety of people in ministry. Most from this area, in our coverage area, but some from other places in the United States.
Yep.
And it's a nice mix. You know, we're lifting up the body of Christ.
Excellent.
And we always say, you know, hey, look, if you think you'd like to be a guest on Frontline, the Frontline, then you can send an email to WCNO@WCNO.com, attention David-TheFrontline. Give me some information about yourself, and we'll follow up.
Now, what about Tuesday mornings? You have another live show you produce on Tuesdays.
Another one. Tuesday's called A Biblical Response, and it's looking at hot-button issues in the news through the biblical lens.
I didn't listen in this week, but I heard you had phone calls. The phones
we
were ringing, and things were happening.
People starting to get come alive with this response.
You must have been jabbing, you know. Somebody was poking a finger somewhere.
Well,
maybe.
Somebody was. Yeah, but that's part of the deal, is we go on the edge and invite people to join us.
Dig into some current events.
But you agree or disagree, it's fine. Give us a call.
Yep.
Give us your thoughts, and we'll respond.
Dave, it's great to have you on the team. Karen.
Thank you. Yes.
How are things going with your Friday program? You have your own program. I was just going out to the mailbox looking to see if your fans had remembered you today, and somehow you were forgotten today.
Yeah.
Well, today I was forgotten, but I did get something yesterday.
Oh, you got mail yesterday. Okay. Because, you know, if you lose that place of being, you know, the most popular here, we might have to figure out how to bolster that up a tad.
Right. I know. I guess I need to just say the right thing, and then
there you go.
Fan mail will increase.
But Hidden Places is every Friday at 11 o'clock.
That's right.
So plan to be a part of that as well. So this is part of our team. We do have one member of our team that is in Israel, and that's Sherry. And Sherry's been over on a kibbutz. She is in the Galilee area. It's sort of on the, I think, the south end of the Galilee, kind of close to the Jordan River. And so the only report we've heard from her is that it's going well and she's staying busy, and that she will be back with a lot of stories. So that's what we know about Sherry.
That's
so,
right.
And, of course, we're going to be talking a little more over the next few weeks. Prayer and Share is coming. That's when we come to you to look to raise our budget. We do this twice a year, so that's going to be coming up as we get close to April. And that means we have another birthday coming up.
Our 35th birthday.
35th birthday.
April 9th of 1990, we went on the air for the very first time.
And I want to just shout out to those of you who already are making some significant donations to get us started on our next Prayer and Share. We received one note from an estate of one of our families that's been a part of our community of listeners for a long time. And that's going to give us a $30,000 start, and that's going to help us a lot. And we also received a $10,000 donation that has come in to, it's just sitting on the side waiting to go into that fundraiser. So that's going to be awesome. All right. So Karen, any wisdom for us this morning?
I do not have any.
No, you don't have any wisdom this morning.
I usually do, but I usually have something to say.
Yes, you normally do have something to say. And of course, we are at this point are you stuffing envelopes and sealing envelopes?
Dave's the stuffer.
Dave's the stuffer. He's good at that, isn't he?
And I'm the sealer and the
and
stamper.
You're the sealer. So,
and we also have volunteers we should acknowledge. Your lovely wife, Rachel.
My wife, Rachel, has been here.
Hard worker. My wife, Cynthia, has also joined
working.
Us.
Working. Mm-hmm.
And we had some odds and ends people wandering off the street doing a couple envelopes. And
I heard Stephanie was helping yesterday.
That's right.
So. Yeah.
About an hour and a half.
And Michael Hennessy, you were able to come in for a few. Did you work him hard enough to get him to sweat a little, or was it not quite?
Well, I was in here with the program.
Oh, okay, so you didn't catch that.
But Karen, did you notice
there was
any?
More talking than there was more, stuffing.
More,
talk,
yeah. More talking, yeah.
There's a lot of talk that goes on over here. All right, well, once again, well, welcome. Glad to have you listening today. We want to get right to our guest, and we have a guest that is going to be representing Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America, and want to welcome Dr. Joshua Hellman, MD. Doctor, nice to have you with us today.
Hey, it's great to be with you and the audience, and this is an amazing radio station. So.
You know, you came in and put those headphones on like you do this every day, and I'm like,
I wish.
how does a doctor have time to do that? Well, you are I believe you're the chief medical officer.
That's correct. Yeah.
And so, first of all, tell us a little bit about what Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America is all about.
Yeah, so it comes down to the name. The whole concept here is treatment. The hope, I want to spread the message, and we want to spread the message that there actually is hope and there is treatment for Alzheimer's.
Because, that's awesome.
Because all too often, a patient or someone out there will go to their doctor, their neurologist, their primary care physician, and they'll be told, yes, you're diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's, but, you know, we'll try these medications, but they're probably not going to work, and they're not going to work long, so you should get your affairs in order, and it's going to go downhill from here. So our message is the exact opposite, due to there's some very exciting new treatments and therapies that almost no one has heard of that I've been using, some other people have been using, but unfortunately, it hasn't filtered down to standard medical practice yet. So again, the whole point of Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America is treatment and spreading the hope that Alzheimer's is not a death sentence. It's not, you know, get your affairs in order and go to a nursing home or memory care center and that's it. No, it's actually, let's go ahead and treat this and fix this for you so that we'll give you your brain back so you can go back to a normal life, whatever that is that you want to do.
This is, it really is so life-changing. And when you use the word hope, that's tremendous, because, you know, people with heart disease or maybe the big C, and, you know, if someone has a diagnosis with cancer, and like, okay, well, those were traditional conditions that could be really serious, but now Alzheimer's is such a huge thing. How many people are impacted?
Yeah, unfortunately, the numbers are going up.
Okay.
So in this country, we're looking at 7 million people.
Wow.
Affected. It's more women than men, but it's a huge number. But to me, the scary thing is the numbers are actually going up.
So with women, it is higher.
It is two-thirds higher, two-thirds women, one-third men.
Mm. Wow. Well, I personally have been impacted by this because my mother had about 10 years in her decline with Alzheimer's. I remember the day when she just didn't come home. She went to work, and from work, she ended up like 100 miles away. And if it hadn't been that a taillight was burned out and a cop pulled her over, I don't know when we would have found her, but she was pulled over. And so that was the beginning of the reality. Mom's got a real problem here, and we can't ignore this and say, well, she's getting a little older. You know, it's not. Mom, when I would go to see Mom, I'd have to pull up my driver's license and say, Mom, do you, what's the name on this? And she'd say, oh, that's Jonathan. I'd say, do you know who I am? And she would say, well, it sounds familiar. And so for the last few years, Mom didn't know who I was.
Wow.
And so my driver's license became my ID, and then I would say, Mom, I'm your son. And she'd say, oh, well, give me a kiss then, you know. And so so that was my mother. And then my wife's parents, we took care of both of them up until they went to be with the Lord as well. And so both of them were losing some cognitive ability. And as a pastor, I've had many families that have been and are impacted, and some we've sent to you already.
Great.
Because they're like, okay, is there any hope? So this is really important. So how did you end up getting into this study? How did you end up being connected with this organization?
Yeah, actually, so I've been involved with reversing and treating Alzheimer's for a very long time. I got interested in it when I was a teenager and I saw my own grandmother.
So you also have some personal, you know how brutal it is.
I do, it's brutal, but I was a teenager at the time, and I saw how it affected not just my grandmother and that generation, but my parents and their generation, because they're like, well, if this can happen to Grandma Eileen, what's gonna happen to us in 20 or 30 years?
So before we get into some of the nitty-gritty, because maybe we can talk a little bit about what causes Alzheimer's, what do we know about it, but before we do that, or before we get into some of the treatment plans, because I know you have many treatment plans that you're involved in, wanted to just kind of look at this whole aspect of hope again. For someone who's listening today, and maybe you're just questioning whether or not you're okay. I mean, I just knowing you were coming today, I'm like, am I okay? You know, no, really.
So far, Jonathan, I would say yes.
my wife just arrived. Really? She will have another opinion. She'll have another educated opinion. But, you know, the point is, it's kind of a fearful thing. And if you've had family members that have suffered from this, and you know, maybe you look at that, and you, every time you go in for a new doctor, or you're setting up, you're going through paperwork, you know, do you have any of these conditions in your family? Is any of this in your past? Is any of this a part of? And so we have people listening today that maybe you're saying, wow, you know, I'd just like to know, make sure that I am all right, and if I am facing some decline, is it important to deal with that earlier? I mean, how important is it that families address this condition as early as possible?
I think it's really important, but I think also it's interesting, part of the human condition is protecting ourselves and denial. So I see very commonly in early Alzheimer's, early dementia, people will intentionally avoid certain situations so that no one knows that they're in trouble. And right. And the reason it's important to catch it early, number one, it's easier to treat, if you catch it early. But number two, I think people should be aware that it could take 30 years to develop Alzheimer's, and the first 20 years you may not be symptomatic. So
really,
100%.
Wait a minute. Say that again. It can take up to
30 years
to develop the condition
Alzheimer's,
where you're going to be actually received a doctor's going to diagnose you, and you're going to end up okay.
Correct. And but the first 20 of those 30 years, you may not be symptomatic because our brains are amazing. They have redundancy. You know, you actually have
coping.
Coping mechanisms. You actually have to destroy a lot of neurons and synaptic neural connections before the system starts not working.
Okay, so there's hope.
There is.
Instead of ignoring and getting a end-of-life sentence from Alzheimer's, there is hope. How can people find out more? I know you have a website. How should people be checking in today, making some notes, and where can they go?
Yeah, so basically two places. They can go online to atca.ai. Then I'll just pull up our phone number here. I don't have it memorized.
I have the phone number. Okay. It is 772-298-4477. 772-298-4477. And at least that's the number that I have on the website, okay? So you can go to that number. You also can write that website again is
atca.ai.
Okay. And I know we have some of our listeners that are more computer literate than others.
Sure.
But as people are listening today, I know that we're going to have a lot of people that are saying, hey, you know, maybe I should check that out, because this impacts the family. And you might be a son, a daughter. Your parents may be they may be showing signs of needing some help. And this is a difficult bridge to cross with your mom, your dad. It's difficult for a son or daughter, or maybe a grandchild, to say, "Hey, you know, why don't we go check this out?" So we need to demystify, I think, the whole condition, and say, listen, I go to a dentist, you know, I go to a dentist on an annual basis, not because I like them working in my mouth, but I would like to avoid bigger problems. And so when would you suggest, what are some of the characteristics that you would say would be indicators that you really should make a phone call and schedule an appointment?
I would say a few things. Number one, if you've already been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia, and you've seen a doctor,
like your primary care
your primary
or whatever,
care, or a neurologist, and they basically said there's really not a lot of hope. We'll try this one medicine, but you know, I'm not optimistic about it. So one scenario would be as a second opinion.
Okay,
but another scenario would be kind of what you're saying is like, you know, I'm having trouble remembering maybe where my keys are or what people's last names are, and I used to know them. And then I would say the third area that we often see changes are interacting with other people. So often there'll be changes in behavior in a loved one. You might say, I think grandpa is depressed, or and grandpa may be depressed, but it could be that it's actually an early form of dementia, and the brain pathways that it determine emotion just are not there anymore.
Hmm. Yeah, that's something we noticed, we observed. I'm not going to ask you to do a test on air.
No. But
somebody might be driving and go, oh, no, where's a tree, right? No, we don't want to do that. The point is that this is something that needs to be addressed, and there is hope now. That's really the important thing. So you have been involved in research treatment for a lot of years?
Many years. For 7 years, I was reversing Alzheimer's and other dementias up in Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
And about 6 months ago, decided to move
To this coast. So what's your educational background?
It's really strong. I have 2 degrees from Harvard, 2 degrees in biochemistry. Mm-hmm. I went to the University of Cambridge for biochemistry master's. I also went to a Harvard MIT program. So I'm one of these nerds. You know, I was studying biochemistry as a teenager.
How did you do all that? You look like you're 29. So how did you pull all that off?
I wish. No, I'm 58 now. But, okay. But I was one of these bookworms. You know, my classmates at Harvard said, you know, you study a lot. It's true. I did. Yeah. The good news is most of what I learned about biochemistry and the brain hasn't changed. I mean, the basics are still true. Mm-hmm. And that's the exciting thing, is I can base many of these treatments on the basic functions, which brings to an important topic, which it turns out for Alzheimer's, there's anywhere between 30 and 200 root causes. Mm. So normally, this is not just a simple...
Tell us some of those. Sure. What are some of the root causes?
Yeah, so one root cause would be high blood sugar, like diabetes. Another could be head trauma. Another is inflammation. And then still another would be medications. There are many medications that not only slow down thinking, but if you're chronically exposed, can lead to dementia, including Alzheimer's. I'll give you a common example that you've all heard of. Benadryl or diphenhydramine is a anticholinergic, and it turns out that the most common neurotransmitter in the brain is acetylcholine. So yes, I'm not saying to stop taking Benadryl the next time you have an allergic reaction, but I am saying that you don't want to be taking something like Benadryl, an antihistamine, or an anticholinergic every day, because long term, that's been shown to be associated with dementia.
So what about the plastics and all the different things that are... my wife is right now really sensitive to the GMOs and does all of this new modification of foods and medications, does this have an impact?
Unfortunately it does. So your wife is exactly right. The plastics, the pesticides, the herbicides, all those, the heavy metals, all those toxins can get embedded in the brain and slow the function of the brain. Another common cause are infections. So as an example, the mouth is a common source of infection, and anatomically it's not a very long distance from the mouth to the brain. Sure. So we often see associations from people who have infections in the mouth. Often those infections will spread to the brain.
Wow. Well, so far you haven't picked on my eating behavior, and you haven't said stop eating pizza. We have a pizza place next door. So how does just lifestyle impact this?
Yeah, so unfortunately pizza is part of it. I'll give you an example.
Oh, no.
I mentioned inflammation. So
okay.
So we know that if you eat cheese, that is a pro-inflammatory food.
That is for real.
For real. And it's because the different molecules in the cheese get recognized by your immune system as foreign. The body recognizes like, hey, this is not, you know, human. My own cells.
Right.
And often cheese or milk products will cause the body to launch an immune response.
Really?
True.
Wow,
because I've seen, you know, there's so much stuff that pops up on the internet. You see all of these little hooks, you know, to pull you in. I'm like, So like, but cheese is definitely one of those things.
Right, and you may notice that after you eat a meal with cheese that you can feel congested. Mm-hmm. So
that's right.
That's what's going on there.
That's right. So what about sodas and stuff like that? I mean, lifestyle behavior does impact it.
Right. So some of the foods you see advertised like sodas, unfortunately sodas are highly processed. It's basically added sugar. And we now know that adding sugar to your diet will actually cause damage to your blood vessels. And you can imagine the brain is a very vascular organ. And if you're if you've got blocked blood flow within or to the brain, that can lead to dementia like Alzheimer's.
So then circulation is a big deal.
True.
And so exercise
is like one of the key lifestyle things you can do. And there may be people listening out there and say, well, I don't exercise at all. What I'm saying is then start slowly. Like wherever you are, exercise a little bit more, because we know that exercise is more effective, frankly, than any drug or other treatment that we can come up with.
So it's very important. What about nutrition?
Nutrition is
as
very,
far as vitamins, minerals, blood work to keep a handle on what's going on with all that?
100%. So as an example, we see people who are deficient in omega-3s or deficient in vitamin D have much higher rates of dementia, Alzheimer's.
Okay. Well, we haven't really talked about your treatment procedure and protocol. We want to get to that for sure, Doctor. But once again, today we have a guest. We're looking at Alzheimer's and the fact that there's hope.
True.
There's hope. And the hope is that you don't just, find a safe place to roost, for the rest of your life in a cave somewhere.
Right.
And unfortunately, immediately the family starts springing into action. Well, mom has this condition. We need to find a nursing home. We need to, how does hope impact that? I mean, for people who are maybe already in the process of being, I hate to say this, but put away, because that's almost what happens. To me, I visit people in nursing homes, and sometimes I think this almost should be criminal, that people lived their whole life. Like my mom, she was a gardener. She loved orchids and roses and all this stuff. And then she gets stuck in a little room, and she's there with a few other people. How can this treatment, or how is this treatment beginning to make a difference?
Yeah, it's huge. We see improvement. So, for example, there's a new FDA-approved drug for compassionate use that works by decreasing the amount of inflammation in the brain, and we're seeing improvement after just one dose. It's given...
Really?
Yeah, it's given intravenously once a month for 6 months, but again, we're seeing improvement after just one dose. So,
wow.
And that's just one of the many different treatments that we're offering, and we're seeing amazing results like that.
So the word, we've got to get the word out. Bottom line, there, we've got to get the word out that there are treatment options now that can
stop
the acceleration, slow it down.
But I'm
reverse.
Also, I'm going to say also reverse.
Reverse.
That's the goal here, and that's what I've been doing. Yes.
That's an awesome. You have an awesome job. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I mean to able to help Dave.
Oh, I was just going to throw in, at this point in our broadcast, some people are saying, well, that sounds wonderful, but will insurance pay for it? Because, that would most people, that's what I would think if I had an issue.
Sure.
And maybe, I'm now hearing about it for the first time, but is my insurance company going to pick up the tab for the treatment?
Yeah, so insurance will potentially pay for a visit at ATCA, Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America. Some of the more advanced, cutting-edge therapies, unfortunately, they're not going to cover. But I find insurance helpful to cover some of the doctor's visits and maybe some of the lab work. Because many of these are considered experimental by insurance companies, that's...
Because they're new. They're fairly new.
They are new. No one's heard of them.
So what about that intelligence that we're so afraid of? It's called artificial. part of your web address is AI, So we hear that. The president's talking about it. There's a lot of discussion about how that's going to impact life, and we see that being utilized to do research in a lot of fields. How does AI come into this treatment plan?
Yeah, AI. So it's very cool. We have an artificial intelligence machine learning expert system where we enter all of the patient's lab work, symptomology, other testing into the AI, and then the AI suggests a treatment plan. It's up to physicians, medical doctors like myself. So it's not the AI running the
AI,
store.
Sure, the AI is not the doctor, but the AI is able to deal with many, many, many different sources of input and be able to organize those in a profitable manner.
Right, because as I mentioned, if you're dealing with between 30 and 200 root causes, which are frankly different in importance for each patient, it's helpful to have tools like AI to help organize and assist, but also say, let's do this first and do this second, mm-hmm. for example.
Well, I don't normally see the report cards of the doctors that's outside the door, so I didn't ask you to bring it in today. You know, we already know you're a brain guy, and you do research and you loved research. But you know, sometimes I think when there are some issues that take place, people are like, wow, you know, I should have found a doctor that was more competent. AI, how does that build a bridge between what humans could miss and how we can bring newer, I guess, access to information?
Yeah, so again, right now I view AI as a tool, and it's just a tool because we're dealing with huge amounts of information, whether we're talking about brain scans or the lab work or the symptomatology or previous
very technical.
It's very technical, and even someone smart like myself who's been doing this for 6 or 7 years, I can quickly scan, but our goal is to expand, and I can't see every patient myself, and that's the goal is basically to leverage my expertise, but not just my expertise of many different
it's really
researchers.
Global, isn't it?
It is. It's exciting.
Global. Well, we're going to, hopefully you can stick around with us,
sure.
because we have a little more time. We're going to come back and talk about actual treatment and how that works. But today we're really blessed to have Dr. Joshua Hellman with us, MD. And you are a part of the Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America, and they have a location in Port St. Lucie.
Correct.
And so, again, they can go to what website to find out more?
It's ATCA.AI. That's ATCA.AI.
All right. And the address in Port St. Lucie is 266 Northwest Peacock Boulevard, Suite 204. And that is in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Phone number again, 772-298-4477. So if you're listening today and you're like, wow, you normally have, you know, people talking about the world's ending or something, or what the Word of God has to say about something, you have a lot of guests there. Why are we talking about health today? Because all of us live in this fleshly house, and it's susceptible to attack from a lot of different angles. And so if there's a solution, then we would like to find that. And actually, Alzheimer's Treatment Center of America is one of our partners, a business partner with this ministry, which helps us be on the air. And so I just believe it's awesome to be able to say there is some hope. We're going to go to a special event now. I see that Ma and Pa have actually shown up in the studio. I was going to go to a song. Maybe I'll do that before we're finished this morning. But well, a big welcome to Ma and Pa.
Thank you, and don't ask me to sing, Jonathan.
Well, last time I tried that, it didn't come out quite right.
Yeah.
So
we'd drive our listeners crazy. So
what about you, Ma? You have a good song, port song you're going to sing with us?
No, we can't sing it.
Cannot
either.
Sing today. Well, some of our listeners, you've been asking, what happened to Ma and Paul? Where did they go? We haven't heard from them in a while. And so, you know, in truth, Ma and Paul, they're personally quite fine. There have been some extraordinary events at the farm and in other areas of their lives which have captured their attention and energy. And these things have taken a necessary priority for sure, but most of the drama, thank God's now behind them. In fact, we find them in a season of spiritual recovery and strengthening. A particular concern today is the tragic loss of so many of their chickens to bird flu, an epidemic that devastated the community of Bickers Corner. Paul has been working hard to restore what he calls my egg-laying family, and has now taken a break from working on the hen house and tending the chickens, the chicken graveyard, that is, where so many of their beloved hens have now been put to rest.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
Yeah, sure do, Paul. What's on your mind?
Well, right now, it's not my mind that needs tending. I need to set a spell and give my back a rest. I'm still in the middle of upgrading the hen house. Installing all that new equipment is a lot of work.
You know, I haven't wanted to bother you with a lot of questions about that, but I still don't understand what you're doing at the hen house. I mean, I'm not suggesting your ideas are wrong, just not sure what your goal is there.
Well, it's like this. I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with old Horatio Wilmer Platts. You know, he's in the chicken and egg business in a huge way. Well, when that bird flu hit, he ended up losing over 75% of his flock. That's about 2,000 hens.
Yeah, I remember him talking about that at church one Sunday. Poor man was beside himself with grief. Like you, Pa, old Ed had a personal connection with those chickens. They weren't just egg producers to him. I understand he even had given a name to every one of his hens.
He sure did. But I never understood how he could remember the names of a few thousand chickens.
Well, don't you remember they wore those little name tags with their pictures on them? You know, like the folks at the hospital wear?
Of course, I'd forgotten. But I do know it's that kind of attention and detail that's got old Ed working on refurbishing his hen houses with some serious upgrades. And it's some of them upgrades I'm working on right now for our hen house.
Well, tell me a little bit more about your plans, Pa. I've been so busy with the church ministry, helping all those folks that got put out by the hurricanes. Frankly, I ain't had the time to focus on the farm.
I understand, Ma. I'm real proud of you and them other folks at the church who helped everyone that got put out of their homes and such, especially since the government failed so miserably. Our church and others in Bickers Corner really stepped up to provide food, clothing, and shelter.
Well, it's the hand of God, Pa. I've never seen local folks so invested in helping others like what I'm seeing today. But like I said, I haven't really paid too much attention to your work here at the farm.
Well, in a nutshell, I decided our hen house needed a significant upgrade. For starters, it's pretty much open to the outside air.
Well, so is our house, Pa. True, we have central air and everything, but...
But don't you see, Ma, that bird flu came into the hen house from the outside. So if we don't want a repeat of this tragedy, we need to have a hen house that's completely sealed off. That's what I'm working on.
Okay, so...
And that's just the beginning. I'm installing a state-of-the-art air filtration system like they have in them biomedical labs. It's a HEPA filter system integrated with ultraviolet germicidal irradiation. Ain't nothing dangerous going to get into our hen house. But on top of that, I'm sealing the whole building, covering all the windows, and making sure we have negative air pressure. So when we go in and we go out, nothing bad comes in with us.
But there'll be stuff on our clothes, right?
I've got several biohazard suits on order, Ma. They'll have their own air supply, and I'm going to build a decontamination room so they get cleaned every time we come out of the hen house.
Well, Pa, I got to say, all this sounds kind of expensive. Now, I'm not trying to criticize your plans, but...
I know what you mean, Ma. But I did some math on this. Once we get our hens back to the peak egg production, and considering the current price of eggs, we should have adequate profits to pay off the cost of these upgrades in short order.
So what exactly are we talking about time-wise when you say short order?
Well, I ain't got all the figuring out done just yet, Ma.
Well, so just give me a ballpark figure. About how long before our investment in these upgrades is going to be paid off?
Maybe in the neighborhood of 10 years or so.
10 years? Pa, what are you thinking?
Now, Pa, just turn the heat down a little bit. Our chickens deserve the best protection we can provide, don't they? We already lost over 30 hens to that bird flu. I mean, there was old Henrietta and Maisie and Clarice, Buster the Rooster. And their children, Alina, Rosa, Barbara, Marge.
Oh, Pa, you don't have to convince me that our hens are important to you, or that you care for them on a very personal level. But there are lesser expensive ways of ensuring their health are just as effective. Besides which, all your grandiose plans close up the hen house can actually be more devastating to our hens in the long run.
Well, what do you mean, more devastating? My plans will ensure that not one killer virus or microbe will ever threaten the lives of our precious little flock.
Well, that may be, Pa, but if you go so far as to seal up that hen house and make us wear those biohazard suits, we completely lose any personal contact with those chickens.
Well?
And, you know, the reason our hens are such good egg producers has everything to do with our spending time with them in the hen house, talking sweetly to them, holding them in our arms. How will any of that be possible if you implement your plans?
Well, you know, Ma, I hadn't actually thought that far down the road on the issue. I've been so focused on protecting them, I guess I lost sight of what was more important.
Look, we can get with the vet and find out what he suggests we can do to increase health protection for the hens. I'm sure he's got several helpful ideas we can employ.
I suppose you're right, Ma, as usual. We should have had this talk weeks ago, I guess. And I can cancel almost all the things I've already ordered.
Well, I know them deaths hit you pretty hard, Pa.
Yeah, they did. And you know, I've been spending a lot of time recently in our chicken graveyard, too. I finally finished all them little headstones, you know, engraving their names. Made me think of them. The way they'd look at us with their trusting eyes. The soft clucking they'd make when we hugged them. The thrill-filled cackles they'd make as they chased bugs across the barnyard.
I understand, Pa. And you know, we've always made it a point to give everything we have to the Lord. We've given him this farm and everything connected with it. And he's blessed us tremendously. We've never had to want for anything, have we?
No. Oh, we haven't. You know, I believe I've been looking so hard at the tragedy of losing our chickens, I plumb forgot to keep my eyes on Jesus.
Well, we've all done that, Pa. Then the Holy Spirit gets us to look at the bigger picture.
Very true. And now I'm going back to the hen house and undo those structural changes I already made.
And you're going to cancel the orders for all that biomedical equipment?
Of course. But when I first conceived of that plan with all the air filtration and biohazard suits, there was one thing I was really looking forward to.
Oh, really? What was that?
Not having to inhale the aroma of all them chicken droppings.
Well, I'm sure it won't take Paul long to adjust to the atmosphere in the hen house, and overall being restored to an attitude informed by biblical standards will generate much more peace in his and Ma's hearts. I found that even the most dedicated follower of Jesus Christ can get caught up in distracting issues. I'm sure you will agree. We have a lot of distractions in our culture today. What Paul's been reminded of is something that we can all benefit by. And there is not a better scripture to underscore this issue than Matthew 6:33-34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. Ma and Pa, after months not being in the studio. Wow, and I'll tell you what, I'm glad to hear, you know, you're getting your chickens back in order, because we've been paying a lot of money for eggs. And I've even been to grocery stores where there were no eggs on the shelves and had to come back later. And so, this is a big deal. But I think everybody's glad to have Ma and Paul back with us, so maybe we'll hear a little more. Well, we do want to get back to our interview with Dr. Joshua Hellman, MD, today. Somebody called, and they wanted to know, and maybe we can fit this into what happens when someone comes to your office, because we want to talk about that too. But his question was, how does the new research and maybe just work that's taking place with the new administration, with RFK, how does all of this fit into the bigger picture? Do you see that as possibly a positive to be looking at our food and looking at these medications and vaccines? And
I do, yeah. Just listening to Ma and Pa, I was just thinking about stress. It's just stress. Having too much stress is one of the risk factors
of Alzheimer's.
Of Alzheimer's,
really.
But to answer your question, yeah, with RFK now leading HHS, I'm really optimistic that we're going to see some big changes in the next few months.
So tell us about your treatment plan. So that's good. You see that as a positive,
and I do.
Because I think some of these things needed to be looked at. Not just from a scientific background, but maybe from a common sense perspective as well. And some of us did not take the jabs just because we were not, you know, comfortable with that. And we weren't really sure, other than we weren't comfortable. And so maybe a little more light will come to the table. When someone comes to your center, what's going to happen? I mean, what's the process?
Yeah, so the process is to first review any tests or studies that have already been done.
Start from there.
And then also start with what symptoms. Not just the patient, but their family. Because often you ask someone with dementia what's going on, and they say, oh, everything's perfectly fine. I feel good.
Right.
I might have to write down things, but yeah. So I remember them, but yeah, things are good. So it's getting a good history. It's doing a physical exam, making sure nothing is missed.
Okay.
But then also looking at the lab work and other physicals, making sure that there's been a brain scan done, whether it's a CAT scan or MRI of the brain, and then also functional tests in terms of brain function, in terms of, like you even shared, I might be a little bit worried here. we'll sit a patient down if they haven't had it and do a computer test that, you know, it might even last 45 minutes or a whole hour just to work out some of the subtleties, because some of these things can be subtle, these changes. And then after we have the initial intake, and frankly, we also do lab testing that most other doctors don't do. For example, looking at...
So it's more exhaustive.
Exhaustive, looking at heavy metals or plastics or pesticides or forever chemicals, some of the things we talked briefly about earlier. So we put all those things together, we use the AI, and then we have a specific treatment plan to look at, for example, the medications or supplements people are on, and making sure that there aren't a lot of anticholinergics, that there aren't medications that they're taking that could actually be hurting their brain.
Well, I know that a lot of our listeners either have been or are on some medications. My father was in our home. We were doing some construction up in North Carolina, and Dad was talking to me, and he just wilted and fell into the floor.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what happened to my dad? And he had been saying, well, they think I may have this problem, that problem. I started to shake. I have some of these problems going on. And actually, what was taking place, he had some medications that were working against each other.
Wow.
And there was not a new health condition. It was a medication condition.
True.
And back 15 years earlier, he almost died in a hospital because they were giving him two meds. One of those, somehow the reaction, he was allergic to it, and he would have died had they not found that. So what is the importance of just looking at meds and looking at all these things and putting together a report that gives some common sense and oversight?
Yeah, so medication and supplement review is key. As you mentioned, you can have medications that were prescribed for good reasons, but the details get missed. But maybe the dosage is not right.
Right.
Maybe there are two of the same accidentally being taken at the same time. So
yes.
that is important, and I think that's more important than comes first, that before talking about all the amazing new treatments that we have available.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of evaluation, there's a lot of research, there's a lot of gathering of just, you know, it's not like you as someone coming in has to do all that. You all are able to help make contact with different, there's a medical trail out there that you can pull together. But then there's blood work, there's interview, there's a lot that goes into gathering the information. So it's possible to actually analyze that and come up. So what happens next? What are the treatment plans?
Right. So now that we have all this specific information, then we develop a treatment plan that's different for every patient. So for example, for one patient, we may offer this new FDA-approved drug for compassionate use that we're seeing results after just one dose that's given intravenously. Another patient we may find have very high levels of heavy metals and plastics and other toxins. And for that one, we'll recommend this new, this treatment to filter blood called total plasma exchange. Total plasma exchange has been around for 50 years, but it's only just being used now to reverse Alzheimer's. And there are actually studies showing that TPE, total plasma exchange, six sessions shows normally amazing improvement with Alzheimer's.
Wow, that's pretty tremendous. Well, there are a lot of other conditions. I think maybe RFK was talking about just with autism with kids and,
true.
You know, how today 1 in 30 versus it was 1 in maybe, I don't know what the number was, like 30,000 or something. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't know of anyone who had issues with all of these allergic reactions to peanuts or, you know, when I was a kid, we all ate peanuts, you know, no one was like, I'm going to die if I touch that or I eat that. And so things have definitely changed.
Right. But that's actually an example where people go in with good intentions, but it doesn't turn out well. So people hear, peanuts can cause allergies. Therefore, we're going to restrict kids having peanuts in the first year of life. What happens is if you're not exposed to any peanuts before you're the age one, you're much more likely to develop allergy to peanuts.
Sure.
So I love the approach of RFK to actually take a step back and look at vaccines, look at what they're putting in vaccines in terms of some of the heavy metals and adjuvants to stimulate your immune system. But, you know, putting aluminum in people's body, we know aluminum is a neurotoxin.
Sure.
So if kids are getting 50 of these doses, we don't want them to develop dementia later in life from all the aluminum or adjuvants. So I think it's really exciting that this is actually shining a focus on this whole area.
Karen, why don't you give her phone number out? We still have a few minutes. If somebody had a question, wanted to talk directly with the doctor, we could open the lines up.
Yes, that number is 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100.
And so if someone's called in, we'll take that call. If you want to transfer it on in to the guest phone, we may have somebody on standby right now. But that would be great. Let's see if we can take a couple calls. Again, I have Dr. Joshua Hellman with me, and he is with the Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America. They have recently opened up an office in the Port St. Lucie area, and we've been giving some of that information just because we believe that that maybe God would like a lot more of us to be able to live at home. That's one of the things I had heard, that it's possible for, what do we have, a call coming in?
I think she's transferring it in.
Oh, okay. It doesn't show it as coming in. Resend it in. Okay, I know we have somebody calling. Send it to guest.
Technology can be great.
Yeah.
It can.
when it works.
Yeah, we actually have a buzz on that line right now. I don't know why we do.
Yeah, that pot.
We lost it, but his phone number's right there on the paper.
All right.
Phone number's on the paper. Let's see. The note that you just gave us. Here we go.
It's not going to work.
It will put it down.
Okay. Karen, why don't you give out the phone numbers here again, just in case somebody wants to call in. We do have one caller we're going to try to reach back out to.
Yeah, that number is 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100.
I will say while we're waiting, we got a call.
No, I'm calling him.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yes, John, we're here with the doctor. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, my name's John. I know you're kind of running strapped for time, running toward the end of the program. I was taking care of my dad for years. He was AFib. Well, it was a pretty complex medical issues, and one thing was he was on for a very long time with high blood pressure medications, and I worked in Lawnwood in the trauma hospital, and I remember talking to the doctor and the nurse, because one time when my dad was admitted over the years, the nurse says to him, here, Mr. Fernandez, here's your Aricept. So that clicked, and I told the nurse, I said, what was that, the story with that? He said, well, the primary examined him, and he seems to have some early onset. But it wasn't so much from heavy drinking, because he was a hard worker. They had mentioned that they said there was an association between blood pressure medications, whether it's, vasodilators, ACE inhibitors, whatever. So I was just wondering what your view was on that as far as blood pressure medications, what's a possible link to Alzheimer's causes.
Yeah, so there are definitely side effects, including with the brain, for certain blood pressure pills. There are all these different classes, but what I would say is having high blood pressure in and of itself Unfortunately, untreated high blood pressure is one of the risk factors for developing dementia. So in the example you're giving, it's hard to know how much was from the high blood pressure and how much could have been from a side effect from a blood pressure medication.
Right, because I'm on 50 milligrams of Losartan right now. I never knew I had it because I was taking care of my dad for years. Not trying to be like the prodigal son, but I was concerned about taking care of him, and I was pretty much asymptomatic. But then when I got diagnosed with it, and I was just listening to the program, I mean, I'm not paranoid. The last thing I'm going to do is stroke out by not taking my medicine. But I was just kind of curious because I know they said there's kind of like a correlation between certain medications and probably like a precursor to possible Alzheimer's. So I was just curious.
Right, right. I frankly, I would be more worried about high blood pressure than the side effects of a medication, of a blood pressure medication. So yeah, definitely don't stop your blood pressure medication without going to see your doctor.
Oh, I would never do that. Okay. No, my cat can't call 911. So anyway, well, okay, sir. Thank you very much. I didn't want to hold you up on the program. Thank you for the information.
Our pleasure.
God bless.
Thanks, John. Thanks for joining us. So that was good. We didn't really give the number out, or we probably would have had a lot more calls. But today, really, we're just trying to build a little bit of a bridge to hope, let people know you personally you have some questions, you're concerned, or you have a family member that you have concern, or you have a friend that you have concern with. There is hope now, and there are some treatment options.
Right, and I'll leave you with what Susan told me last week. One of the patients I've treated with this brand new drug for compassionate use, she whispered in my ear, "Dr. Josh, you changed my life because I reversed her Alzheimer's." Wow. So
that's
awesome. It's an amazing feeling.
Yeah,
give the webpage again. How can people get a hold of you all? And you know, this is really important.
Yeah, it's ATCA.AI. That's ATCA.AI. It stands for Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America.
And one thing, Dave, you brought up, at least for the initial evaluation, insurance is covering a lot of that, doctor. Is that
true? Yes.
So I think that's important to people to know. Do they need a referral from their doctor, or can they just contact
it? No, they don't need a referral. We're open without referrals. So yeah, now that you've heard about us, make an appointment, come see us.
And of course, you know, when you come in, depending upon the treatment plans, what takes place, your office will be able to analyze and figure out what the insurance covers and work through those things, just like at any doctor's office.
100%.
So for our listeners today that have joined us, this is a little bit of a different topic, but I've looked forward to this. Because this is a it's a new office that's set up here in town. It's cutting edge as far as utilizing all of the current information that we have had historically, but also bringing cutting edge AI into the picture to assist with management of all that data. And so, doctor, it really is a pleasure to have you with us. What else would you say to our listeners today as we kind of close out our program?
Yeah. So, in addition to there being hope, the amazing thing to me is that we can have an impact and reverse this in 3 to 6 months.
It's awesome.
So not only is there hope, but there's hope this year.
Yeah.
Now, doctor, you know, we are a big radio station. We're reaching into Melbourne. We're reaching into Miami. We have people all around Lake Okeechobee. We potentially reach, if everybody tuned into us, which we would love, we would have about a third of the state of Florida listening to us today. We have that big of a footprint.
Nice.
But we have people down south that may say, wait a minute, where are you located? And, you know, do people travel in from out of town? I mean, what would you say to that?
I've had people travel in from other states come see us because some of these cutting-edge technologies are not available right now yet where they live.
So they're coming. Yeah. And you're, this company, Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America, is also on the move because when people find out that there is actually hope and treatment, and you not only can slow down or stop, but you can hopefully
reverse
the damage. And I know I heard of testimonies where some who had already been placed into a nursing home or something, have recovered to the point where they're able to go back home and maybe even go back to work.
Yeah, I've seen that many times.
Many times,
and that's my goal, frankly.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Yeah. Well, what a great mission you're on, and we're very happy to be able to be partners with you all and to get the word out, and hopefully you'll be available to come back.